Please turn your Bibles with me to the Acts of the Apostles, which some preachers and scholars believe should be reworded to the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because basically it is the continuing work of Jesus Christ. Even after he has died for our sins, rose again on the third day, appeared to many of his disciples for 40 days, and finally ascended to heaven. His work is not done. And he has sent the Holy Spirit to continue the work. The writer of the human instrument, Luke, writer of the book of Acts, begins this book with, you know, Jesus began. All right? Let me refer you to Acts chapter 1. He says, the former treatise, verse 1, have I made, O Theophilus, referring to the Gospel of Luke, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus began both to do and teach, but he is not done. He is continuing to do and to teach his people through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in whom he refers to as the Paraclete. In John chapter 14 or John chapter 16. Now, just a little background to the book before we look at the message. The message title is Marks of a Healthy Church. Marks of a Healthy Church. And I'd like to urge you, every one of us here this morning, as we look at the marks of a healthy church from God's point of view, as recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, let us reflect on our own spiritual life and commitment as a member of New Life BP, and see whether these marks are true in our lives. All right? So reflect on your own life. Do not think about other people, how they are doing. All right? Let's evaluate concerning how we are doing, each of us. Now, I'd like to recap two main points that I touch on in the series on the church that Jesus built. In that message, I mentioned that there are two aspects of the church. All right? The immortal, or sometimes called the universal church, consists of all regenerated believers. All regenerated believers. All genuine believers. This is only true in the immortal universal church. The other aspect of the church is called the temporal or local church, which consists of those who profess faith in Christ and may have in its membership some who are not genuinely converted. So there will be in every local church what Jesus would call in his parable, tares amongst the wheat. So local church or churches are not as pure as the immortal or universal church. And I think I gave you a list of characteristics to compare the two, the differences. However, though we are part of the universal immortal church, the moment we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes into the immortal universal church, we are also exhorted in the Bible to be a member of the local church. So it's important to join a local church. There is no such thing in the New Testament churches or the history of Christianity as a churchless Christian or even a Lone Ranger Christian. Every believer belongs to a local church. All right, so I hope that last Sunday's Easter service is an encouragement to all of us to see the Lord adding to our local church those who are being saved through baptism, reaffirmation, and also transfer of membership. And so this is the right thing to do, and we should keep doing that by the grace of God. Now I want to talk about health, all right? The health of the church. Not so much about church growth, because some outstanding pastors and preachers have advised other pastors not to aim for church growth. Because if this is our goal, there may be a temptation to be led astray if growth is our main focus. All right? We may try to attract crowds of people to come by using ways and methodology that are not honoring to God. I know of, when I was a young Christian studying in seminary in US, that there was a church which I was so curious to visit because they are known to have the largest Sunday school in the whole of America. And that was quite a long time ago, 2 to 3 decades ago. They were running 20,000+ in their Sunday school, the largest Sunday school in the world. And I discovered that every Sunday, they have this bus ministry to go out, fetch the kids from the various localities nearby to come, and they give them McDonald's, hamburger, and ice cream. Now, if we start offering free McDonald's ice cream on Sunday, do you think our seats here will be full? Probably, yeah. People will come. I think the test of a church spiritual life and effectiveness in reaching the lost is when we do not have all this offers, people still come because they are hungry for the Word of God and they are hungry to seek the true and living God. And so we need to work hard in prayer, because this work that we are doing, especially evangelism, is a spiritual work. So we need to use spiritual strategies. So aim not for church growth, instead focus on what? Church health. Because a healthy church will grow in numbers. It's the same in life when you plant a plant. A healthy plant or fruit tree will bear fruits. Now, please don't rush to our mango tree later on. I'm just using that as an illustration. We have a nice mango tree that is grown just next to our gate. Just the other day, I was walking out for coffee with Brother Steve, and I noticed the tree was full of mango fruits. Plenty of them. Did you notice, anyone? Very fruitful tree. So when you see a tree full of fruits, straight away you can what? Deduce. This is a healthy mango tree. Because it is an unhealthy mango tree, it will not bear so many fruits. Maybe zero fruit. So a healthy church will grow in numbers. And if we focus on the health of every church member, the spiritual health, our church will be used by God to grow in numbers. So this is why I bring you this message. All right? So what constitutes then a healthy church? And how do we know if a church is healthy or not healthy? What are the marks of a healthy church or a healthy church member? Fortunately, we are not left to guess, because Acts chapter 2 gives us some clue about the marks of a healthy church or the marks of a healthy church member. Now, the context of Acts chapter 2 is the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. All right, in verse 1 of Acts 2, the Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Pentecost means 50th, because this feast was held 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. At Pentecost, the Jews celebrated the giving of the law, but Christians celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church. So the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and there were, of course, signs of his coming. This coming of the Holy Spirit is in fulfillment of the promise by the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, that when he go away, he will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you. And he will teach us and guide us into all truth. All right? So the promise of the Lord Jesus fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, which is also the birth of the New Testament local church. Now, signs and signs of tongues and fire accompanied the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go into detail here, except to mention one thing about tongues in verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The word "other tongues" in verse 4 means known languages, not ecstatic utterances. And the Greek word translated "language" in Acts 2:6 and "tongue" in Acts 2:8 is the word "dialectos," which refers to a dialect or a language of some country or district. Now, I'm sure we are familiar with this as Chinese people, right? Most Chinese here, even I think Indians and the other races, we have dialects. Mandarin may be the common language or the official language, but in China, there are so many different dialects. If you think there are 4 dialects only, you're wrong. There are more than that. Right? So I hope you realize this is not ecstatic speech. It refers to a known dialect or language in other tongues or dialects. So then Paul says tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. And when the scripture is completed, the signs are no more in need, because now we have the whole canon of scripture. So we have, first of all, the promise of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. And then the preaching of Peter from verses 14 to 41. Now, there are 3 explanations in Peter's sermon. Firstly, he explained what happened. The Spirit had come as Jesus promised. Secondly, he explained how it happened. Jesus was alive. He has sent the Spirit to continue his ministry on earth. And he explained why it happened. He comes to empower the believers to evangelize the lost. Acts 1:8. "But you shall be my witnesses," right? "In Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." But they are not to begin that evangelistic work until the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came to fill them with power and with wisdom to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that souls may be saved. So that's the background of the first 41 verses in Acts chapter 2. And so we see the effects or results of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He empowers the preaching of the Apostle Peter, and it resulted in 3,000 converts to Christ, as we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. All right, "And they that gladly received the word were baptized and so forth. Now our text where we get the marks of a healthy church is the memory verse you are to commit and reflect and meditate on. Shall we turn to that, please, and read together one more time? And by the grace of God, let's try to commit this to memory. All right, if you're there in Acts 2, verse 42, let's begin. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. The disciples who were converted on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 plus 120 who were in the upper room gathered before the coming of the Holy Spirit, continued steadfastly. In another translation, it says, and they devoted themselves, all right, to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. So here we have some of the marks of a healthy church. And they are firstly, lovers of the Word of God. They continually devoted themselves to what? The apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine means the exposition of God's revealed truth, and that is the Holy Scripture. The 3,000 new converts needed instruction in the Word of God if they were to grow as Christ's disciples. So you find that one of the marks of a healthy church or healthy church member is the hunger and thirst for the Word of God. They want to learn more about God and about Jesus Christ. And so we provide that opportunity in our Sunday school for those who want to learn and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Sunday school for various ages. We have fellowship groups meetings. We have small group meetings in the NBCs. All right, and in future, we will provide more. Acts 17, verse 11 shows us a church planted in Thessalonica. And we see one of the marks of a healthy church here. In Acts 17:11, it reads, now these were more noble-minded than those, Berea, all right? And these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great what? Eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I'm paraphrasing it. All right? So they were receiving the word with great eagerness, but they go beyond that. They examine the scriptures themselves to see if what was taught is correct and true. In John 8:47, Jesus said, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. Now that's the opposite. So you see the reverse. Those who reject the word of God, those who are not interested in it, those who turn from it, they are marks of either not a healthy believer or even a non-believer. You see? Because a healthy believer is a lover of the word of God. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, I worship the word thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So you see, God has even exalted his word, magnified his word above his name. So how important the word of God should be treasured by us as God treasures it. This is a picture of a trip I took with a friend from Hong Kong. He's a Singaporean missionary to Hong Kong. His name is Dr. Victor Ho. And we went together to a part of China. I cannot reveal the location. where he was teaching with a few other brethren, China people, all right? Different people coming together to learn the Word of God. And we see the eagerness of all these men for the Word. Lovers of the Word of God, two examples. General Robert E. Lee. He says, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. And I hope that will be your experience as well. George Washington, former president of US, says, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. How good to have believers, isn't it, in government who follow the Word. So one of the marks of a healthy church is the love for the Word of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you love the Word of God? How do you show that love for the Word? Do you make time every day, despite how busy you are in your schedule, to have your daily devotions, to have some time of personal communion with God in prayer? I hope you try to begin every day with prayer. When you get out of bed, just whisper a short prayer. Make time to read the Word. Feed on it daily. Because Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And may I add that Sunday's feeding is not sufficient. Don't depend on Sunday, the Lord's Day, where you come to church and hear the preaching and attend Sunday school and you say, that's enough. Now, let me challenge you to do that when you eat your food. Have one meal a week. Go eat a good, sumptuous meal this afternoon. And then you say, the rest of the week, I don't have to eat. Next Sunday, I'll eat again. Do you do that? You say, Pastor Gunn, ridiculous. Some of us will die before next week of hunger. Right? Spiritually, it's the same. No wonder you are so easily discouraged. No wonder you are so easily drained serving God. Why? No daily strengthening. Try and work without food. See what happens. Even during that day. Don't eat your breakfast. Don't eat your lunch. Skip your dinner. So busy as an excuse. You won't last. Isn't it? Same spiritually. So may God help us to love His Word and make time to read it, meditate, study it. Secondly, I need to run along. Second mark of a healthy church is regular Christian fellowship. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Fellowship has a concept of partnership and sharing in the faith. We have something common. When we are believers, all right, Christ has brought us together. We have a bond already as members of the family of God. And we come together to provoke one another to love and good works. Fellowship means much more than just being together physically. All right? It means sharing your life with each other, your joys, your sorrows, your problems with one another. And this is better done in a smaller group setting, isn't it? You can't be close to 200 people at one time. So you start with a small group. Hopefully, your bonding can expand to more. But you have to begin somewhere. And that's why we have NBC. And we would like to encourage you to join an NBC or a small group in the other fellowship groups like YF, YAF, AF, or SAF. So that you can build this Christian fellowship and bonding. We have many avenues. Let me show you a few. We have our YF, For young people in this age group, we have our young adults fellowship group as well. For those of you in this range of age, we have our adults fellowship and also the Marsiling NBC, Yishun, Northeast, and others. We have our senior adults fellowship once a month as well. But of course, we can break up a little bit more for this big group so that we can foster, all right, and promote closer relationship with one another. Third mark of a healthy church. But before I get to that, let's reflect again. Are you in any of these fellowship groups? We need one another to grow. God save us to be in a community, all right, not to be alone. And it is in the community of believers that we find encouragement and strengthening. And we are used of the Lord to be a blessing to one another. So let me encourage you to think, pray, and join. If you have any question about which group you should join, you can talk to me, you can talk to one of the elders, or one of the NBC group leaders, all right? And we'll be happy to assist you. Third mark is prayerful believers. Prayerful believers. Acts 2:42 continue to say, not only were they devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, but also to what? Prayer. By the way, breaking of bread, I think, has a concept of regular meals together. So they eat together with one another. So fellowship groups, NBC, I told the AFers, I think, you don't have to always meet just at home and have Bible study. You can meet, go out and play a game. You can meet, go out for a meal and meet outside, you see. So the breaking of bread has the idea of regular meals. But for the New Testament believers, it leads into sometimes the Holy Communion. But I don't encourage that to be done on your private basis. It should be in the context of the church. All right? So how we need to emulate the apostolic church concerning the priority and power of prayer? Because they were devoted to prayer. Read the book of Acts and note the prayer lives of the early church. Why was the early church such an impactful, powerful church? And I think the answer is found right here. The secret to their power is because they are a praying church. You say, Pastor Gan, I can pray individually. Yes, that is true. But there is also the need to come together for corporate prayer. You say, where do you find that in the Bible? Acts 1:14. They gathered in the upper room to pray and to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We need to gather together as a church to pray for revival and wait till God answers us. Yes, there are mercy drops falling. In our evaluation yesterday at the In Conversation, thank many of you for coming. I think Brother Ching Nong took the attendance. There were about 54 of us. And it was a well-represented group because we have the YF people, some YF there, YAF, AF, and SAF people. And Pastor Nathan and his wife, and the Chinese, CYF. So very well-represented group. And we evaluated 2014 team. And most of us generally agreed from what we can observe and also personally experience that God has answered our prayer, but there is still what? More work to do. More prayers to be made. Mercy drops are falling, but for the showers, we plead. Let's ask God for the showers of revival to be upon us. And I thank many of you for responding in 2014 and also this year. We have seen more than 110 different members of the church coming at least once a year last year. But some of you have responded and came once a month. Others have responded and came more regularly. All right? And I think Yes, as Elder Yap say, we should challenge our leadership to come regularly, unless providentially hindered. And the members to come at least once a month. Reflect on your prayer life, personally, privately, as well as corporately. How are you doing? Once a month is not too much to us, brothers and sisters. And I hope you will heed the appeal to do your part as a member of this church to pray with other believers for the health of the church and God's blessing upon our lives and our ministries. All right, so this is just roughly the statistics for this year. January to April, our lowest attendance, 24, our highest, 38. And we need more prayer warriors. My target as your pastor for the church is 25% of the Sunday attendance. We have hit 15%. We are still short of 10%. Sometimes, occasionally, we hit 20%, but we have yet to arrive at 25%. And you will hear from me when we hit below 25. 24 lowest. That's why I'm saying this. All right. So don't take it as nagging. I think it's very important that the church maintain the prayer meeting. All right. And we need to work harder and encourage one another to make it a priority in our life. Just once a month. Is it really so hard? Power of prayer. And I'll move on after this. You know, one reformer by the name of John Knox pray, and he has such a big heart. He says, "Give me Scotland, else I die." What a passionate prayer and burden for his own country. And do you know that Mary, Queen of Scots, very wicked queen, says that, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." And I tell you, the devil doesn't fear our activities. You can have plenty of activities in the church. He only fears when God's people get on their knees together and in unity pray and ask God to work. Because when we get on our knees, we are calling upon almighty power. And that is the only power that the devil fears. Not you and me. Fourthly, God exalting worship. Day by day, continuing with one another in the temple. Typo mystic. Believers went to the temple to praise and worship God. This is a transition period. They were Jews, right? They worship in the temple and then in the synagogue. And later on, churches came about. And John 4 tells us that God seeks for true worshipers. And this is another very basic thing for all of us, isn't it? Sunday, the Lord's Day worship. Unless we are providentially hindered by shift work or by illness, we should be present every Sunday in the Lord's house for worship, because God loves to see us gathered to praise Him. And please do not give excuses. It's called the Lord's Day for a reason. 6 days you labor, right? On the seventh day, you rest and you come together to worship the Almighty God. So don't say, "I have tuition, I can't come. I got swimming, I got sports, I got appointment with my friends." Do that another time. Worship is number one and should be number one in our priority. How are you doing here? John MacArthur, in his book entitled Worship, The Ultimate Priority, listed 4 kinds of unacceptable worship. And I'll quickly run through them without elaborating. The worship of false god, the worship of true God in a wrong form, the worship of God in a self-styled manner, and the worship of the true God in the right way but with a wrong spirit. So as you look at these four false forms of worship, unacceptable worship, how are you doing? I hope when we come together, our worship is God-exalting, not self-exalting, and not for selfish purposes. We come and we come for only one reason, to worship Him, period. To please Him, to delight Him. And He is the only spectator. All right? We are not here as spectators. We are all here as worshippers and participants. Let me move on. Fifth mark, spirit-filled soul winners. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And we praise God that every Easter, every anniversary, God has never failed to bless the church with new addition. Let's continue to pray and work and be instruments of God to lead unsaved souls to Christ, that He may add them to His church. Christ's resurrection power was at work in their lives, and because it was at work in their life, the result was that the church was unified, magnified, and it multiplied. A healthy church will grow in numbers. A healthy church will be a united church. A healthy church will be a church where people look at and say, wow, new life, BP, yeah, the people are very godly, passionate for Christ. You know, they are magnified in that way. God spreads their reputation for His glory. So we have BB, GB Outreach. We have ROF, TUQ Outreach. We have missions to China, India, Cambodia, Philippines. So what are the marks of a healthy church? Lovers of God's Word. Let's say together, shall we? Lovers of God's Word, regular Christian fellowship, prayerful believers, God-exalting worship, and Spirit-filled soul winners. Question, how healthy is your Christian life when measured by these criteria? Because this church consists of all of you. If you are not healthy, new life is not healthy. If you are healthy spiritually, then new life is a spiritually healthy church. So in closing, may I challenge you to grow healthily in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and be involved in the ministries of new life while awaiting the return of our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use your word to speak to our hearts, even as we reflect on the marks of a healthy church member or a healthy church. May we desire to grow healthily in our relationship with you and also with one another. Challenge your people so that, Lord, you may be glorified and that we will be a church that is an effective instrument in your hands to touch the lives of people around us and to bring them to the kingdom of our Savior. And it is in His name that we commit all this. Amen.